Okay, we are back, and we have the one and only Franz Wagner here with us to kick off our summer podcast schedule. Franz, I appreciate you coming on, man.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell the people where you're at right now and what you're doing currently.
I'm in LA right now. Just got here a couple of weeks ago. Just trying to work out and get ready for all the pre-draft stuff. It starts, I think, in July for me to work out for the team. So just trying to get in the best shape possible to be ready to go.
What's your day-to-day? Because some of those days, they can be grueling for a while till the draft.
Yeah, it's not too bad for me right now. I'm working out in the morning, got my on-the-court stuff for about an hour and a half maybe, and then we go to lift. That's basically Monday through Friday. A lot of conditioning, a lot of running and stuff like that, and obviously on the court stuff, everything a little bit. But then on the weekends, probably just one, maybe two workouts, but not too much to kind of recover and then get ready for the next week.
You're used to it though. Like I'm thinking about me in that position, and I get homesick, and you're like, yeah, I've been away from Germany for a while now. Like, you're used to this stuff where you go and just kind of grind it out, and it's no big deal to you.
Yeah, I mean, it is different now that I'm basically on my own. I mean, yeah. You know, like once you get to college, maybe the first 2 weeks are a little weird, but up until that point, then you have a couple friends, and then it's like a new home to you. But it is a kind of a weird time. I don't really know where I'm going in, I don't know, a month and a half. So
yeah,
that's a little weird, but I had a couple friends visit me already. So that was cool. But I'm used to being away from family and stuff like that. But it's definitely a little adjustment for sure.
Yeah, I think it sets you up for success, especially in the NBA. You never know where you're going to go. You can be moved around at any time. So I think that experience is very unique. Like, American kids don't really get that as much, not quite that same experience. But what is something – are you just kind of sharpening your skills right now? Or are you looking to improve something before the draft and show teams and workouts? Or take me through some of that and what you're working on.
Well, I mentioned like a big part of those drills that you're going to do with the teams is a lot of conditioning and just seeing where you are mentally and if you're willing to like push yourself in workouts. So that's a big emphasis that we're doing in the workouts. And then obviously working on the body, trying to get a little bit more athletic, more quick and stuff like that. I think on the court for me, it's going to be important to show that I can shoot the ball really well, get more consistent there, and then also show that I can do stuff with the ball and make decisions with the ball. I think that's one thing that can set me apart from a lot of other players, especially in my position. So that's just something I'm trying to get better at.
Now, I imagine the NBA has been a dream for you for a while, and it's got to be crazy to be so close to a dream coming true. And also your brother Mo in the NBA. Like, were you guys kids talking about playing in the NBA, or is this kind of, you know, new-ish in the last few years when you guys got good?
I'd say we talked about it a little bit, but I talk about it with him a lot that growing up in Germany, like, the NBA is so far away that it's almost like frowned upon to like say, yeah, I want to make it there, like because it's so far away. So we talk about it just in our inner circle maybe and dream about it a little bit, but I'd say for me it just became a goal. I'd say once he made it, and that really made it like possible for me to, that made it a little switch in my mindset to make it a goal for myself. But it's definitely so far away when you grow up in Germany. I mean, you got Dirk, obviously as sticking out, but other than that, I mean, not too many German players. It's getting better now, but it's so far away for everybody in Europe. So it's definitely a big dream since I started playing basketball, but it got even more close as time went on, as Mo got drafted too.
Was it more of playing for Alba, for the hometown team in EuroLeague? That was like the thing you guys talked about more then?
Yeah, I mean, even that was a big step, right? You grow up, you don't know how good you can be, right? And you just try to work hard every day and try to get better. But once you kind of check that goal off, and I played a year with that team, that was super cool. But even then, you don't know, like, you're still a young player, you're still so much to learn. You're never like sure if it's actually going to happen. So I think I'm just trying to keep that mindset to just keep working hard every day, and then all those things are just gonna come true, hopefully.
Yeah, it's funny. You're so level-headed in every interview I've heard you talk and all the quotes, and you're just like, you're very level-headed. You're very much like me, and Mo's very different. And I'm wondering how that relationship was growing up. Was he always pushing you? Because as an older brother too, and into basketball, like I imagine he was just trying to beat you up in those one-on-one
games,
like I did to my little brother.
Yeah, exactly. There's no mercy in those little one-on-one games outside. We haven't played in a while, so that might be something for the future. But no, I mean, that's what the little brother is supposed to do, though. I think that gave me a little advantage when I play against kids my age. Just playing against someone that's almost 5 years older, that's definitely hard and difficult to win. And obviously, he won a lot more games than I did. But that also, just getting that competitive spirit, still trying to win, even though you had a disadvantage, I think that can only help you and only made me better, I think. And I think still to this day, I think that kind of helps me.
There was a few times I think my mom was thinking she was going to have to call an ambulance because we were about to get into a fight. Did you guys ever have like a certain moment or like a good story where maybe there's some blood or something going on?
There was a lot of fighting. I mean, I'm a bad loser, so sore loser. So
he probably put it right in your face. Like,
yeah. I mean, he did his job. He would beat me up on the court and then let me hear about it too. But like I said, I think in that moment, I didn't really like him, and we definitely got into a lot of fights. But I mean, the next day, it was all cool again. It didn't do anything bad. But it's definitely cool to look back, though.
Sure. Yeah, and it's such a cool relationship that you guys have, and he can be an example for you and help you in your next step. Like, how amazing has that been to have him go through it and help you with it all?
Yeah, so great for me just to have someone just to look up to, see what it takes, see what kind of work you have to put in to make the next step on each level. It's super cool to see for me. Obviously, it's super cool to have someone I can ask questions about the NBA. I did that same with college, so that's super cool and super important for me, I think, and definitely made it a lot easier for me. I think his path was a little harder, just having to figure it out just on his own, and me having that advantage that he already did that. So that was definitely cool for me, and I'm going to continue to use him as a resource. He's a great guy, always willing to help me. And he's going to show people on the court, I think, that he has a lot to offer. I think he has a bright future as well.
Yeah, I have no doubt he's got that chip on his shoulder. He's ready to prove himself. That is for sure. So I'm hoping he gets that opportunity. But it was funny watching you when you were 17, 18, playing for Alba, and I think you were in the playoffs in Germany, and like you were going off, and like all the Euro hoop stuff that I follow on Twitter, and I was like, oh, Franz going off for this 18-year-old kid, and I was like, okay. And I watched your game a little bit, and then it was talking about you coming to Michigan possibly, and I'm like, there's no way like that he fits so well with Alba, he's gonna do so well in Europe. And then boom, like, you know, beeline left, and boom, Juwan got you to come in. And it helps that you had an example there with your brother. But like, what was it about Juwan and that call that made you stay, that made you go to Michigan?
It was super difficult for me. I was thinking back and forth even when Beeline was still at Michigan, just because the experience Mo had, and he had only great things to say about his time there. So, it was for me more, not just about the basketball side, but about the off the court stuff and learning a new culture and just getting to know new people. And then, also, though, playing in that environment, I think college is a lot different, different playing style. I had to get a lot more physical. I think there's ways in Europe to get away with not being physical more than it is in America, at least. At least that's how I experienced it. And I knew that was something I had to work on to make it to the NBA. And that's why I thought it would be a good step for me on the court. And then the Juwan part, I mean, he's a great guy, special dude, just just how you build relationships with people is it's very just very special. So once we had a couple conversations, I was super happy to join his team. And I mean, looking back, it was the best decision I could have made.
Yeah, no, it worked out great. It was a lot of fun to watch you this year and like watch you develop from year one into year two and then throughout this past year even. So I want to kind of get into some of that. Take me through some of that a little bit where it was almost like watching you learn how good you were, how good you are, and that, you know, sometimes you got to just kind of take the ball and go with it. And, you know, one thing you're really, really, really good at is playing team basketball, moving the ball. But then, you know, when you're one of your best players isn't being super aggressive or aggressive enough, you know, it'll hurt the team. So it's like learning. Yeah. It was fun to watch you do that. And it was like in spurts and you'd go through you know, the struggles and stuff. But was that a day by day process and something you had to discuss and learn on your own?
I mean, for sure. I mean, just comparing, like, if I would have stayed at home, I definitely wouldn't have had that experience, just being one of the top guys on the team, having to play 30-plus minutes every game. And being one of the main guys, if I don't play well, our chances to win are a lot lower than if I have a good game. So just having that responsibility, I think, helped me a lot. Obviously, could have done some things better and struggled a couple times, but
sure.
I mean, that's part of it, I think. That's why I look back being so happy, because I think I learned so much about myself, about what I can improve, what I have to improve. And yeah, it was like you said, the aggressiveness and playing within the team and stuff like that. That's something that I think about a lot and that people talk to me a lot about. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, I think it's always important to just make the right decisions in the game, but definitely learning when to be aggressive, when to pass the ball and stuff like that. I think that's something that was a big part this year. And yeah, I think I learned a lot about that for sure.
No, there was so many times where I'm like, Fran, shoot the ball. And then you'll make it just a perfect pass for like a dunk for Hunter. So I'm like, all right, it was just Franz knows what he's doing. Just let him be a little bit. So it's got to be, you know, a little annoying at times too, when, you know, change is difficult and change can be super annoying when you're like, I play my game. Like, let me play my game. So you had to, you know, I talked to Coach Washington on one of these podcasts and talking about the process of talking with you about being aggressive and your whole growth process. You know, how many times in film were they just, you know, looking in the video and being like, hey, Franz, this is where you can shoot. This is where you can attack and be aggressive.
I don't know. I don't know about that. It was more like that it was very evident in some situations that I wasn't that sure of myself if I wanted to shoot or not. And we definitely talked about that. I think looking back at some film from last season, there was a lot of times when I have an open look and I just hesitate to shoot, and then maybe I end up taking a worse shot than I usually had. So just stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I knew coming in that I'd have a bigger role in my first year. And that was really cool for me to see, to get that kind of trust from the team and from the staff. And I mean, I did the work in the off season. I felt really prepared. And yeah, obviously now I know better my game and what I got to work on even more. But I think this past year, I think that experience is, like I said, just having to kind of carry a bigger load, I think that helped me a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And this year, you guys, it was amazing to watch. You guys had number one seed. You know, it was, you know, not the end of the season that you guys were hoping for. The beginning was incredible. But then the tournament, you guys played well and won games. And, you know, it was just like a roller coaster last month a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, what was that feeling going into the first game of that tournament, going with the number one seed, but you lost one of your top players and, you know, losing in the Big Ten tournament? Like, how was that mindset going into the tournament?
I mean, I think we felt really confident, even after the Ohio State game with Isaiah not playing. I think we lost by like 1 point. We didn't even play our best game. So it wasn't like we weren't like super – obviously, we were disappointed, but we also knew that the big one was still ahead of us. So we weren't confident into the game. I was super hyped because it was my first tournament game. So I think for a lot of the guys that was the same. So it was definitely cool. I think the coaching staff did a great job, like they're always still preparing us for these games. I think we had a decent game the first game, then against LSU. I think we came back in the second half, so I think we got better as the tournament went on, and obviously until the last game. But I mean, it was a cool experience. It was definitely unique with being in the hotel in the same hotel the whole time. But yeah, it was definitely a cool experience. And I mean, obviously, we could have done a lot of things different and better. But I think that's part of just growing, and at the end of the day, just only one team can win. So that's how it is sometimes.
Yeah. How did that feel after that last game? Like a sense of accomplishment, or a lot of regret and anger that it was over and that guys didn't do more? Like, what was that
Yeah.
feeling for you personally?
I mean, I was more disappointed. I was more disappointed in myself than anything else. I felt like we had so many chances to win that last game, that it still hurts today. I know I didn't sleep that night at all. We left, I think, like 11 a.m. I just came back at like 1 a.m. in the morning. I didn't sleep at all. So I imagine for a lot of the other guys was the same. Just we expected so much more of us, I think. At the same time, I think it's important to know that we had a great year. And I think only one college team at the end of the day is saying, man, we had a great tournament. So
Yeah.
I think all the other teams that lost too, they look back and wish they would have done some things different. But no, I think definitely our UCLA game is one thing I won't forget. And definitely that feeling after was not the best for sure.
No, it was such a strange year. I mean, just to see UCLA there at the end was bizarre for me. And it was kind of one of those years where everyone was kind of. It was a strange year for college basketball programs, just having weird success or failures throughout the entire year. I mean, Kentucky was bad for the entire year, and then UCLA comes out of nowhere. And it was just an interesting experience with COVID and the whole time, like, we're trying to treat it like a regular basketball season, but it's not. And you guys are going through, you guys are at home by yourselves. You guys had that month break, 3 or 4 week break that you had to take and basically just stay at home. Have you. Do you think that made you guys a lot stronger and made you come together? Because now it was just you guys. There was really no campus life. There was nothing else.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it was that much more important to have a good chemistry on this past year. And I mean, Coach R did a great job with the guys he brought in, not just the freshmen, the transfers. I mean, Mike and Shondi fit in perfectly.
Yeah.
Really great dudes, high character guys. I think everybody on the team wanted to win for the next player, and I think that's what made us really good. Even after that, I don't know, 3 week stretch, we get back, play against Wisconsin, and we're like down 14 at half. We still pull out a win. So I think that was, for me at least, the moment where I knew we'd have a chance to do something special coming back after that long pause where it wasn't really our fault that we couldn't play. That was definitely difficult, but I mean, yeah, just a great group of guys. The memories that we had this past year was great, and definitely something I'll remember forever, for
Yeah,
sure.
definitely. Did you guys actually have bikes? Like, what workouts were you doing at home during that break?
So I remember the first day of quarantine, I guess we got some weights and bands and stuff like that. Obviously, not a great weight room, but whatever we can do, deliver to the house, or picked up somewhere or something like that, and then we just tried to make the best out of it, really. It was really like stay at your house, don't go out, order food,
Could you like run
delivery, and
outside, or were you just told to stay inside?
we're told to stay inside. Obviously, like you can take some walks, I think, just to, I mean, that's at least what I did. But
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, coming back that first practice, I remember we were all like, it just felt so weird, like after an off season basically. But it's crazy, like after UCLA game, like all those things like added up, I think, over the course of the season. And after that last game, I just kind of felt like how tough this year was mentally, especially. And I felt like during the season, it was crazy. You didn't really recognize it, but as the season went on, as it was when it came to an end, that's when I really realized like how much we've been through and how hard that really was.
Yeah, there's always that weird bittersweet sense of relief after the season's over. It's hard to explain, but like, you know, and playing overseas, I'm like, you know, don't get too upset sometimes when we lose. It's a weird feeling to say that out loud because people are like, wait, don't you want to win? But it's like, yeah, but it's like nice to be done as well.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah. When did you, I mean, obviously this has been in your mind thinking about declaring for the draft and going to the NBA. Did you put that off mentally? I know you weren't distracted during the season, but like, were you really actually just putting it off until the end of the season and then maybe even a little bit after, or has this been a kind of a constant process for you?
I mean, I knew it was going to be like, it was going to come up at some point, but even after the season, I mean, at least 2 weeks, I watched a couple games, but I didn't work out. Like, I just needed a little break, I think, for myself. And the draft decision was part of that. Like, I didn't want to worry about that at all. I mean, I knew it was going to come up, and I talked to the coaches and stuff, and I think made a good decision. But definitely didn't try to think about that too much, I think.
Yeah.
Like, there was so much going on already, I think, that would have been a little too much.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's such an interesting process and something that, like, barely anybody else in the world can even begin to think about making that decision. Like, where were you and where were you when you decided, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make that leap and now I'm gonna declare for the draft.
I mean, I really decided right before I left in Arbor. I went to Germany for a couple of weeks and the announcement came out like my third day there, and that's really just like the day before is really when it may click for me that this is going to be real and that I want to make this step. And up until that point, it was always like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And everybody was kind of expecting it too. But for me, it wasn't real until the day before I really called the coaches and told them everything. And, because everybody thought I was going to do it, at least around me, but just leaving Ann Arbor, I mean, you know, it's so difficult. There's so many great, great people there and such a good time that you have there. So until I really left Ann Arbor and I kind of got settled at home, that's when I really made the decision for myself. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because college recruiting and your recruiting story was very unique, but like college recruiting is one of those things where you just kind of have to go through it. Like there's no playbook for people to give you. You kind of have to experience it. And then hiring an agent is similar to that. It's like a little nerve-wracking because there's so many options. It's a world you're never taught about. Like, did you kind of just go from referrals and use your connections and made a quick decision, or was that a long process for you?
I mean, I knew a couple of people already, and obviously Mo helped me with that too.
Mm-hmm.
After those 2 weeks that I mentioned earlier, I was just trying to not to talk to too many different people, too many agents, just trying to keep it more simple. I think that would be easier for me. So I kind of decided on a little group, and then I met with everyone, and I felt really good with Mo's agent and the meeting that we had, and that's why I made that decision. But it wasn't that difficult for me. Like that college decision, just I think I learned from that and just try to keep it a little more simple.
Yeah, because there's such big decisions, you overcomplicate everything if you.
Yeah.
Real easy. So how many agents in total you think like hit you up? I mean, I had a bunch and I wasn't nearly as good or in high demand. So you must have had like 100 at minimum.
I mean, it's funny. Like some people just hit you up on Instagram. Like.
Yep.
And somehow find your email or your phone number or something like that. Some German agents hit me up, like, that know somebody that I know that have my phone number. So I don't know how many, especially on Instagram. What do you call an agent, right? Somebody can just hit you up basically and say they want to represent you. But
yeah,
I would say, anywhere from 10 to 20 probably. But I mean, like I said, I didn't really consider many of those people just because I didn't want to make it too hard on myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ignore them. Keep it simple. That's always the best policy.
Yeah.
Your English is so good. Like where did that come from? Where did that start?
I always laugh. I always tell my mom, cause she always says that too. I watch a lot of like YouTube basketball videos, like just highlight clips and stuff like that. And just hearing the announcers speak. And then obviously, Mo coming to America and, a couple of times we went to America just for vacation, stuff like that. So, I just kind of picked stuff up, I think, through that and obviously through school. But I think you really just learn when you talk. I think my first 2 months in Michigan, I think I learned probably the most about how you kind of interact with people. Mm-hmm. And it's just, just doing it every day. Obviously, at some point it becomes natural. But, I think it started out with
YouTube,
basketball
trusty,
as well.
Trusty YouTube, always. Yeah. What was the biggest culture shock when you got over to America?
So here's like, obviously I've been to America a couple of times, so nothing really shocked me like that. I'll just say a big adjustment is the food. I think at least it was for me like that. Obviously in college is another thing because you don't have the most time, but
yeah.
I mean, I was at home, I was home cooked meals and stuff like that. And then you kind of just pick up whatever is the cheapest and but I would say that, I don't know about anything else, especially in Ann Arbor. I think I was kind of familiar with a lot of things. So,
They're still doing Mr. Spots for the team.
Yeah, and stuff. Man, for sure.
God, I miss Mr. Spots so bad. He's a Philly cheesesteak. What's some German food or like something that besides family that you miss the most from
Germany? Besides family, I think one thing I really miss the most is, so this is coming back to Ann Arbor, having options past 10 p.m. If it's food, if it's like, I feel like in Ann Arbor, especially when everything was closed, obviously this last year,
yeah,
it was more extreme, but
yeah,
like there was nothing to do. Like,
that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Past 10, 11 p.m. Other than that, I think a big difference is that you need a car. So I grew up in Berlin, like in the middle of the city, just hanging out with friends. Like I had my bike maybe, but other than that, like you can just use the tram, use the buses and stuff. That was always really cool. You didn't really have to plan. You got to drive there and who drives back and stuff like that. I think that's one thing that's pretty cool in Berlin, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely a big difference. Definitely a big difference too. I in this past season, I played in like a really religious city. And I mean, places were closed at like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Maybe open like 3 days of the week. I'm like, what the hell is going on right now? I can't eat anywhere. I have to travel like 20, 30 minutes to go get some food late night if I wanted it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm curious because you got the experience and I've had McDonald's in Israel and it's very different from America. Is which one's better for you, Germany or America?
So I've maybe had McDonald's once in America. So
what did you get?
It's probably better here.
Okay.
But honestly, I'm not the biggest fast food guy anyway. So I mean, I didn't really go to McDonald's even back home. Like maybe like on some road trips we would stop there, but I wouldn't trust my judgment of the places.
That's fair. Yeah. That's pretty fair. Okay, a few more questions. One, I want to ask you about the Berlin nightlife, and I heard it's amazing. And then you hear, like crazy stories about college and frat houses, and you see the movies, and it's like a big exaggeration. But like, definitely during the pandemic, it's like a letdown, and nobody's doing anything. But what was your kind of perception of what it'd be? I guess Mo went through it and would tell you. But your perception, and then when reality hits you when you got to school, like, is, I feel like Berlin's just so such a cool city and the nightlife is so great. And it's so great to be out in downtown and so busy that like you get to Ann Arbor and it's going to be seem super chill, but like somebody from Indiana, like a farm town kid, it's going to seem like a big city, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in that sense, I don't know if the nightlife, because obviously college parties are a thing for themselves and are pretty cool too. But I think for the nightlife, I mean, I would just say, obviously like during the day, like Berlin, there's a lot more people, like it's a lot louder all the time and stuff like that. In that sense, I think in Harvard, there's a little bit more chill, but you know, parties, they're great at both places, I think. And I think there's something about like a college campus and just everybody going there, and, just everybody having that connection. Whereas in Berlin, like normal people are at the club that you don't know at all and stuff like that. So college campuses always feel like a bubble where some stuff you can just do there and everywhere else people look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, it's very true. It's a very good way to put it. It is a bubble. It's always been a bubble like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a couple more questions for you and then we'll get you out of here. We already talked about your last experience, or how you felt your last game. And now this question, we talked about the nightlife a little bit, but you're obviously were underage in Ann Arbor. So if you don't want, you don't have to answer this, you don't want to, but I always ask everybody, Skeeps or Ricks?
I'd say Skeeps. Yeah.
My guy. Okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Everybody's basically been Skeeps. It's been impressive. I think Novak loved Ricks. But that was basically it. Okay. Last question. What is one thing that sticks out to you the most that you learned and that you will carry with you from your time at Michigan?
I would just say, the reason why I came to college, I think Juwan is someone that carries that with him, that stuff on the court matters and basketball matters, but how you treat people, what you do off the court, just the kind of person you are, I think that matters a lot more and means a lot more to people as well. And like I said, I think Juwan is the best example. A career that speaks for itself, but him as a person, he's even a greater guy than anything else. So I'll just say that's something I'll carry with me, that even if basketball sometimes doesn't work the way you want it to, that there's still a life beyond that, and just enjoy that, and things will work out.
Yeah, no, I could not agree more. It's a good answer. Franz, I appreciate you, man. I really appreciate you coming on. I got to get Mo on here. Maybe one of these days we can get you and Mo at the same time.
Sure.
Get Mo to talk some shit live on this podcast. But I appreciate you, man, taking the time. And yeah, hopefully we'll talk soon enough. And good luck with everything. I know you're gonna be, you know, fulfill your dreams and do great. I have no doubts.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem.